Let's all pray together. Father, we're grateful to gather around your word again this afternoon. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity we have to so freely open it. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. For meditation this afternoon, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And we'll begin our reading at verse 12. This is just picking up to some dialogue that Moses is having with God on the responsibility that he has been given. Exodus chapter 33, beginning at verse 12. It says, as Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he, that is the Lord, said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said that as Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in the clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, for my face shall not be seen. I'd like to conclude here at the end of the chapter. Moses is facing a big responsibility. Behind him were probably about 1 million of the Israelites had come out of Egypt. In front of him stood the wind-whipped, dry, and hot desert that they'd have to travel through in order to get to the promised land. And then reaching the promised land, he's got to face all the enemies that are there and all of the difficulties that were present there. Not only that, but the people had proven that they were rebellious, they were stubborn, they were difficult to deal with, they were constantly complaining and coming to Moses and even in fact wanting to go back to Egypt. And easily distracted, worshiping idols. And probably remember the golden calf, just after they see all those miracles, easily falling into idolatry. And so Moses, facing this, begins this conversation with the Lord when he says, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. And he goes on, he's basically asking God, what is the plan here? How is this going to all work? This great task that you have been revealing to me over and over again, that it's time for me to lead the people across and move forward. How is this all going to work? It says, you know me, you know me by name. And he goes, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. What is the plan? What is the strategy here? Kind of reminds me of the time where Jesus was talking with his disciples, where he gave them a special insight, where he said in John, the 15th chapter, where he says, ye are, talking to his disciples, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you my friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father, and I have made known unto you. We are in a special position in the sense that we understand the big picture of God's plan as it's revealed in God's word. And we can see in hindsight how God led the Israelites and how that all worked. But here's Moses at the beginning looking forward, not knowing how this is all going to come together. And he's waiting for that revelation to come. And it's interesting how God responds to that. He doesn't lay out the plan and the strategy and all the things that are going to happen, probably because he was being merciful to Moses. If he did that all at once, Moses would be completely overwhelmed, wondering, this is not going to work. I can't handle that. Because God's grace is revealed moment by moment and day by day. So instead, what he does something better than that. When he says in verse 14, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." In other words, I don't need to give you this plan and the strategy. Why don't you, I'm just going to come with you, or rather you travel with me, and I will provide moment by moment of how this is all going to work. And he says, not only does the presence go with thee, but I will give thee rest. In other words, it's all going to work out okay. You don't need to be stressed out and worried about how all these details are going to come together. Because as long as my presence is with you, there will be peace and rest. And Moses understands that when he says in verse 15, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence." Recognizes the need for his presence. Now, what's interesting is if we go down to verse 17, when the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight." So Moses is making requests of God, and he's finding favor in that sense as God is responding and providing him with direction and with what's going to happen as the next step. And so Moses takes the opportunity to ask God one more thing. Now imagine if you were given the opportunity to ask anything of God, what would you ask? Solomon had that opportunity in a dream to ask what he wanted of God. And in a sense, Moses has that same opportunity here as well. What would he ask? For long life? For health? For great wisdom? For boundless energy that's going to be required in order to accomplish this great task? Or how about just somehow to miraculously transport them from where they are into the promised land, bypass all of these things? After all, nothing is impossible for him. But Moses doesn't ask for any of those things. He asks what seems to be a very simple request. Show me thy glory. What does he mean when he says, "Show me thy glory"? He's asking to understand God in his character of who he really is. Much in the same way as we would look as a relationship here to understand what makes up that person. What makes this person tick? What is the deep thoughts, the depth and the breadth of that makes up this person? Of who they really are. And that's what Moses is asking that of God. I really want to know you more completely. I want to see you in all of your glory. Yes, we get glimpses in of God's glory and his creation and the vastness and the beauty and the complexity. And we say, wow, the mind of God in order to come up with these things. We can't even comprehend even the simplest things, let alone all the complexity there. In a sense, that is a measure of God's glory. But Moses is asking for a more... Because he's seen all that. He could see the creation for what he knew. He's looking for more of God's character. Now, if you think of something like the sun in our solar system, the center of our solar system, the sun itself has some sort of glory associated with it. It's bright, it's beautiful, it's hot. Imagine if we wanted to experience more of the sun's glory or the attributes of the sun, even though it's an inanimate object, it's not alive in that sense. That's an impossible request. Why? Because if we went to the sun, it's millions of degrees Celsius there. We would be consumed in an instant. We'd be incinerated. And even if that weren't a problem, the fact that the sun is so large, it would consume us because the gravity would completely crush our physical body. We wouldn't even be able to stand. It would break all of our bones and we'd end up in a heap. And if that weren't the only problem, the atmosphere itself does not sustain life there. We couldn't survive even if it weren't for the heat and for the pressure and the gravity that we would experience there. And so we have to be content, as it were, to experience a small part of the sun's glory from a great distance of 93 million miles away, where we can appreciate the warmth and the light that it brings. But it has to be at a distance, lest we be consumed. And in a sense, that's kind of the word picture I think about here, as God says in response to Moses' request about show me thy glory. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. He's going to show, I will proclaim the name of the Lord and be gracious and his mercy. But thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Because anyone being able to see the full glory of God would be completely consumed because of the greatness of it. And so Moses had to be satisfied to see just a glimpse of it from a distance, the greatness of God himself as his glory passed by him. Moses crossed a threshold because instead of just longing for the blessings of God or special favor from God, he was seeking God himself. And that's a threshold that I believe is necessary for all believers that want to experience maturity. It's necessary for us to cross that threshold as well. To not just view God as the source of blessing, to not just view him as to find favor in his sight for us personally, for our benefit, but rather to seek him, to experience his glory in all of its fullness. Because when that happens, there is a change that occurs. Change that we read in the next chapter. We don't have time to go through that. In chapter 34, at the end of the chapter, where Moses spends time now in the presence of God, he comes down and the scripture says his face shone. It was like he was reflecting some of that light and that glory that he experienced there. So much so that people were uncomfortable interacting with him. It was just so unusual to have somebody that exhibited those characteristics that he actually had to put a veil, a physical covering over his face as he interacted with the people for a time. And this is also true of what happens to us, not in the physical sense, but as we seek God's glory and as his character is revealed to us, that starts changing us from the inside out, that it becomes so evident to others that we have spent time with God. And that becomes obvious in the way that we conduct our lives, in the way we live it out, in the way we speak, in the way we prioritize things, in the way we conduct our life, that we don't even need to tell that. But it starts becoming obvious to others in that same way. Did Moses still have a reason to be anxious or even to be angry with the stubbornness sometimes that he had to deal with in the people, or the dysfunction of the situations, or the danger, the fear? Yes, he still had cause for that and would still be tempted in those ways. But now that he saw God's glory and his greatness, he could now face that major difficulty, that major challenge, because he wasn't serving a small God. He was serving a great God, a God that was greater, far greater than all those challenges. Yes, they were big challenges, but in the face of God himself, they were no longer a mountain, but something that could be easily overcome when God's presence was with him. Shouldn't Moses' request be our request as well? Shouldn't that be something that we want to ask God to say, show me thy glory. Help me to experience your greatness. Because we're surrounded by difficulties. No, they're not the same as Moses did, and they're probably not nearly as big as his, but they're often quite big. When we look at them and we wonder, how is this all going to work out? I don't know how to deal with some of the problems as we're living ourselves in a body that's dying, living on a planet that's decaying, living in a place, fortunately not here, but other believers around the world living in the fear of war, uncertainty. Here in our society, living in a place where there's a focus on self-centeredness and narcissism and just the seeking after of pleasure, or whatever brings pleasure at whatever cost, it doesn't matter. And we're surrounded by these things and wondering, how can this all turn out? How can this all end? And be concerned about the future, maybe for ourselves, and maybe it's not necessarily for ourselves, maybe it's for our children or for our grandchildren. And we do well to be concerned about those things. But when we see God's glory, when we experience his presence, there is an abiding strength, and there is a new perspective that we are granted that helps deal with those uncertainties and with those fears. I don't know if you've ever made the experience of, at times there's a, in some publications, they would provide a set of pictures that would be up close of something that would be commonly found, that we would be, that we would all be familiar with. But because the picture was taken so close, you couldn't really understand what that object was. And the goal of that exercise was for you to guess what this object would really be. And you would turn the page and you would see then the zoomed out picture of what that was. And often it was something like a cloth, a piece of clothing. When zoomed up with a microscope, you could see the fibers, but you can't really make out what that is until you zoom out and you see, this is a piece of clothing. Or it could be all kinds of different materials that we're familiar with, wood and carpet and books and paper and all kinds of things. It's a very interesting look, really unique when viewed up so closely. And sometimes life is like that too, where we're focused on the here and now and we don't see the big picture. The things don't really make sense. Until we sort of take a step back, and when we're in God's presence, we see a bigger picture and potentially how this is all going to work together. And maybe we won't see that then, but we have faith in a God that does see that bigger picture. And we put our faith in him because his characteristics, his glory, And his ability is far beyond our comprehension. And he asks us to put our faith and our trust in him because he is worthy of that. Growing up, we probably all made the experience of times when we felt overwhelmed or were frightened about something. And how did we respond to that? Most would run to their parents, someone who could provide stability and strength and who could provide that level of comfort. And just being in the presence of father or mother provided the calmness and the peace and the assurance that was necessary. And sometimes words would not even have to be shared. Just being in the presence provided that. And this is the gift that we have as adults. We don't do that again now as adults in the same way with our physical parents. But we can run to God as our Father at times when we feel that way, to have his presence provide the stability that's necessary. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything will make sense at that time, but the fact that we are in his presence will often be good enough, what will provide that stability and strength that we need at that time. And as we go through life and experience things that don't make sense, it's probably because it was never meant to be that way. As we live in a fallen world with our base sin nature and those and living in a community and living in a world that struggles with that nature, that sin nature, there are hurts and things that, trials and tribulations that come. And it was never meant to be that way. And just recently I heard a song that I'd like to read some of the world. This old world is not where I belong. Heaven is. It was never meant to be my home. Heaven is. So I will not hold my treasure here. I'm bound for a land where there are no tears. What is this place of joy so dear? Heaven is where the glorious Lamb of God forever reigns. Heaven is where I will sing one day with the angels and the saints. Ask me what is waiting, because the Savior made me his. Heaven is waiting. And that is the promised land, that as the Israelites were journeying towards that promised land, as we journey toward the promised land that God has promised to us, that is heaven. That's the place where there is no tears and the place of joy so dear. So may this request be ours as well. Not just a one-time thing as we ask God to show us his glory. And he will do that through his word as we understand how he's dealt with people over time. But it's not just static pages here of experience that happened so many years ago. It's through life experiences as well that God will reveal a little part of himself. Sometimes it's through other people. Sometimes it's through situations. Sometimes it's through his creation as we take some time and to go and experience the beauty and the magnitude and the breadth and the depth and the height of his creation. And we see the wonder of it. Maybe it's even something as simple as watching a documentary of nature and the beauty of it. And we just realize, wow, God created this and reveals little parts of his glory. And as we seek out his presence, sometimes in just the quietness of our closets, that he can minister that little bit of glory of his to our hearts, to help us make sense of the time and the moment that we are in, and to give us strength and courage and joy to continue in the journey towards that promised land. Amen.